Okay. Now, in verse 3 of Exodus, it tells us Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within the bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight and why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of the slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way of the Egyptians are oppressing them, so now I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you brought the people up out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am, and this is what you are to say to them, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel, and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me, and has said, I watched over you, and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt, in the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And the elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt, and say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor, and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, so that you will plunder the Egyptians. And then the Lord says, Moses says, What if they do not believe me or listen to me, and say, The Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, What is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. Throw it on the ground. And Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. And he ran from it. I love that. You can picture that. Uh-oh! What do you got in your hand? Well, that's my staff. And it turns into a snake. He goes, uh-oh! Starts running. That's great, isn't it? And Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. And the Lord said to him, Reach out now and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Then the Lord said, Put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand in his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous like snow. Now put it back in your cloak, he said. So Moses put his hand back in his cloak, and when he looked at it, took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. And the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. And if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. And Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. And the Lord said, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I'll help you speak, and I'll teach you what to say. And Moses said, O Lord, please, send someone else to do it. And then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he says, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You will speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I'll help both of you speak, and teach you what to do. And he will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth, and you were God to him. But take the staff in your hand, so you can perform miraculous signs with it. Now, notice here. I went through all of this. You notice that there were some things, obvious concerns that Moses had. It's about what comes next. Now, we're called of God, right? And God has given us a message, right? And we know that without the power of the Spirit, we're incapable of delivering that message. Now, look what was necessary to go along with that message. There were signs, weren't there? Miracles, signs, and wonders. Miracles, signs, and wonders. The snake and the staff was a sign. The miracle was the hand was healed. It was turned leprous and then it was healed. It's a miracle. And the wonder was pouring the water out and turning into blood. It's a wonder. You see that? You see those three things that Moses was given? Miracles, signs, and wonders. The God of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same God that sends us. Yes, they will, Tricia. They will. Don't despise the day of small things. They will. And let's talk about what comes next. I wanted you to see that from the beginning. Even when Moses was sent to the people, Moses was a man just like us in a lot of ways, didn't he? He had lots of doubts. He was just a guy. He didn't have any power of himself. But he trusted the Lord, didn't he? Faith. He couldn't make signs and wonders happen. But God could. And, you know, he had that understanding that we have right here, don't you? That, well, why will people listen to me? Isn't that what you want to ask God? Well, why will people listen to me? If God sent you, he'll be the one to testify that he did. Won't he? Now that staff in Moses' hand was the staff of a shepherd. I want you to see the comparison. He was leading physical sheep that belonged to his father-in-law in the wilderness. But God had sent him to lead the true sheep out of from under Pharaoh. God had sent him to gather the scattered sheep. To bring them to his holy mountain. That's what this is all about. Isn't that the same commitment that the Last Days Church has? To gather those sheep and bring them to this holy mountain. To bring them to speak to their God. The God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. Amen. Now, I want to talk about miracles, signs, and wonders for a minute. You notice right after we talk about the believer's prayer, we prayed ourselves yesterday that God would testify with signs and wonders. Miraculous signs, healings, miraculous signs and wonders. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The next thing that we see happening in chapter 5 is Ananias and Sapphira dropping dead before Peter's feet. And this is cool because it tells you something important. Moses was sent to Israel, the people of God. Jesus was sent first to the lost sheep of Israel, the people of God. Judgment comes first to the house of God. Right? Before we go to the Egyptians, we must go to Israel. Before we go to the Gentiles, we must go to Israel. Judgment comes first to the house of God. First thing that happened after this prayer is that God testified first to Israel, the church. Peter said to Ananias, "How is it that Satan has so filled your hearts that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Did it not belong to you when it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have lied not to men, but to God." And when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came, not knowing what had happened, and Peter asked her, "Tell me, this price that you and Ananias got for the land." She said, "That is the price." And Peter said to her, "How could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." And at that moment she fell down to her feet and died. Then the young men came, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about the events. In order for there to be a fear of the Lord upon the Egyptians, in order for the world to know that there is a living God, you know, Christians are going to have that fear first. And they don't. The fear of the Lord must come on the true Israel of God. And it must be displayed. God's truth, judgment comes first to my house. Yeah, the hearts are hard. Next, that happened, right after that, then we see it, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers, used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. And crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Then the high priest and all of his associates, you know, now this is what's going to come first. Judgment comes first to the house of God. And then there's going to be great testimony to the world, and the fear of God will not only come on those of the house of God, but also it'll be demonstrated to the world with signs and wonders, and then what comes next? Persecution. The high priest and all of his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy, and they arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. And at daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. And when the high priest and associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We have found the jail securely locked, and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." And on hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priest were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. Then someone came out and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts, teaching the people." And at that, the captain went out with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force, because they feared that the people would stone them. And having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said, "yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and have determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Because they were. And Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead." Now notice, they acknowledge the name of who sent them. The God of our fathers. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We need to go back to that. You know that, right? "The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. And God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to us, to those who obey Him." Wow. Whom God has given to those who obey Him. They obeyed that form of doctrine that was able to save their souls, huh? And receive the Holy Spirit. "When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, 'Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But it is from God. You'll not be able to stop these men. You'll only find yourselves fighting against God." And his speech persuaded them, and they called the apostles in and had them flogged, but ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they knew that was for nothing, didn't they? That was just a show. They knew they were going to keep speaking in that name. But they had to appear to have done something, right? So they flogged them and warned them not to speak in that name again. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Look at them people. They got a beating and they're happy about it. They got flogged and they're happy about it. They rejoiced in it. That doesn't sound like Christianity today, does it? That they rejoiced. They were bold, fearless, and rejoicing in the sufferings that came of it. You know what they tell you today? Oh, don't do that. You'll just bring trouble on yourself. Don't stand up and speak the truth. You'll just bring trouble and rock the boat. Don't do that. You'll bring attention to yourself. They were boat rockers, buddy. That's what they were. And they rejoiced in what they got because of it. Because to share in Jesus' sufferings is to share in His life. And they knew that for a fact. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. You see how this is part two? Because we can expect, yeah, we can expect signs and wonders. But remember, we're sent first to the church here in these last days to tell them the truth, to encourage them to come. We're sent to the lost sheep of Israel, so to speak. Judgment is going to come upon, and God is going to put His foot down. There's going to be order in this church and not chaos. There's going to be leadership in this church and not chaos. And with it, there'll be signs and wonders. And then the world will see that there is a God in the earth. And it'll be followed quickly by them trying to stamp us out. But if this is of human origin, it'll pass away. But if it's not, nothing can stand against it. It is God who will equip us. It's God who has equipped us. He's given us a staff, just like Moses had. It's the staff, the gift of our ministry, to be shepherds. It is a shepherd's staff. And it's empowered through the Holy Spirit. It is a gift given to us. We may not understand what that is, but it's true. And it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. God has given you the tools, and He'll work the power. He'll testify. All you have to do is be obedient to do what He's told you to do. Amen? And you're going to see mighty things. And it'll all be by the power of God, not the flesh. This is what's coming for the church, for those who are truly of Christ. And so you can see, first comes this message of unity and the purity of the gospel. First comes a return to the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through His Son Jesus. A return to the Lord who dwells between the cherubim. Back to a purity of the faith. Man. You got to know who the God is you're dealing with, huh? And He's the same God at that burning bush. He's the same one that Jesus revealed to us. And He ain't changed. It's a good place to stop.